Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor May, good evening. It's up as five. This is update for Tuesday, 18th of February, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. Budget day number four for Alfred Cannon. We've got the Treasury Minister's Greatest Hits, Volume 4. All the details, criticism of the process from Mr. Speaker, clarification from former Chief Minister Tony Brown. We've got another Manx gas protest details, and also a British couple has tested positive for coronavirus.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the update news headlines, Faster My Ed Oldham.
Faster My News just in the last 10 minutes. The Treasury Minister's budget for the forthcoming financial year has been approved by Timwald, but not unanimously. Speaker of the House of Keys, Duan Watterson, was the only member to vote against the document of proposals presented by Alfred Cannon, largely on grounds that he felt the process was undemocratic. End fuel poverty, the message to Manx Gas from protesters outside government buildings this afternoon. A group with placards assembled outside whilst the Treasury Minister announced his 2020 budget of focus. They then went on to march to Manx Gas's headquarters. In sport, FC Isle of Man have named Chris Bass as their first ever manager. He spent the last two decades at the helm of St George's, turning them into one of the most dominant sides in Manx football history. Further afield, the Environment Agency's warning flooding is still a danger to life in six parts of England. Even more rains forecast for much of the country tomorrow, while some people in South East Wales are being urged to reduce their water use. The Foreign Office says it's offering support to a British couple on a quarantine cruise ship in Japan who say they have coronavirus. More than 540 people on the vessel have been infected, including four other UK nationals. A jury in New York has been sent to decide a verdict on Harvey Weinstein's sexual assault trial involving two alleged victims. The ex-film boss could be jailed for life if found guilty of one of the charges. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with news in full at 6.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you, Ed. Nemshire Faster Dew tonight from the Ronalds Way Met Office. A strong wind warning in operation for the next 24 hours in the North Irish Sea. On the Isle of Man, dry this evening and overnight, down to 2 degrees. It will be close to freezing. Note this, close to freezing over the hills. It will be warmer towards dawn, but there's a yellow warning for ice on roads above 1,200 feet. The mountain road, of course, giving ice through the night from any time from midnight till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And Wednesday, Ukraine, a dry start and rain by mid-morning on a strengthening south-southwesterly, 9 degrees top temperature, overnight 4 into Thursday. Jordan, early rain becoming isolated showers, bright spells as the day goes on. Strong southwest wind will swing west as the rain clears. Daytime maximum is 8. Sunset, right now, 27 minutes to 6. Way, it's getting closer to summer. High water 18 minutes to 8 tonight. Your overnight low tide 24 minutes past 2. Sunrise in the morning 7:30. And high water tomorrow morning is 29 minutes past 8 a.m.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Good evening. This is update from Manx Radio. It's Budget Day on the Isle of Man. Some key points from today's Manx budget presented by Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon. He began his speech with some good news. More than £40 million will be allocated to the island's general reserves after the Isle of Man reached an agreement with the UK government over a VAT survey. Tax rates stay at 10% normal rate, higher rate of 20% on income tax. Personal allowances rise for the fourth year in a row by £250. Start paying tax at £14,250. Pensions, disability payments, child benefit, nursing care contributions all see rises, and a capital programme of £159 million, or nearly £540 million, over the next 5 years. Amongst the schemes set to benefit the Liverpool Ferry Terminal, work at Ronalds Way Airport, new ambulances, new fire appliances and police vehicles, Radcliffe Villas for those with learning difficulties will be redeveloped, and Peel Medical Centre will be expanded and included a GP training centre. And a total of £46 million allocated to highway schemes over the next 5 years, if you're counting potholes, including residential roads. Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon appeared on the Baker Tilly Isle of Man budget programme at lunchtime today on Manx Radio. He's calling it a budget of focus. Others are asking, couldn't we have been a little less prudent this time around?
Public finances are challenging. Long gone are the days when we had excess cash floating around that meant that we could just effectively allocate more than perhaps was appropriate and more than departments needed. We require very careful, focused, appropriate managing of our public finances. But I think that we have produced a robust financial plan that is capable of meeting the challenges. You will note that we have invested a total of almost £50 million over the lifetime of those last three budgets and more now today directly into public services. We have also been able to deal with the significant overspends in the Department of Health and Social Security. And I'm still able to sit here today and tell you, and the public that we have a proper handle on our financial plan, that we're going to deliver that financial plan as it stands today, and that we've produced more confidence in that financial plan by announcing what we did today in agreement with the United Kingdom, the future methodology behind the FIRSA forecast.
Of course, you have to be circumspect in your outlook. Do you think the Isle of Man needs an increase in population for business to prosper?
We've set out very clearly that we want to grow the population on the island, that we certainly don't want to see the population declining. We're absolutely committed to trying to find policies and put policies in place to grow the working population on this island. I think it's absolutely critical that it is the working population that we attempt to grow.
We
recognise that the demographic has become slightly unbalanced. That's why we've brought forward the incentives that Department for Enterprise are using to promote amongst the business community in terms of national insurance holidays, in terms of relocation assistance. And I think, as I announced today, actually we're back into positivity in terms of our population growth. The population is growing again. Business confidence generally across the community is good.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
It hasn't been all plain sailing for the Treasury Minister today. During the budget debate in Tynwald, Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson, announced he'd vote against the budget because he didn't feel involved in the whole process of putting it together. Members only have a couple of weeks to see the budget ahead of it being presented. Mr. Watterson says we need an Auditor General to counter some of the figures coming from Treasury, which he called spin.
I don't feel that most members of Tynwald are any more involved in the budget process than the man on the street. And I've set out that in quite some length in a document that's gone around to members. There is a need for an Auditor General. I think there is a need for some independent verification of some of the figures. What's being presented to us as a surplus is actually a significant structural deficit, and I think some of the self-congratulations that are going on in the budget debate are sort of whitewashing that to some extent. Until we start making eye contact with some of these difficult decisions, we're going to be in this perpetual state of talking a good game but not actually addressing the real problems.
Chief Minister Howard Quayle hit back at Mr. Watterson when he appeared on the Baker Tilly Isle of Man budget programme at lunchtime on Manx Radio.
I think it's worth pointing out that he seems to have a little bit of forgetfulness that he was a minister for 5 years in the Department for Home Affairs and didn't seem to be too concerned or offer to resign his position as a minister because the budget wasn't being done in the way that he wanted. And now that he's out effectively on the backbenches, he's changed his tune. So he seems to forget why. If you've been a minister for 5 years and you had the opportunity to make those changes, lobby, and if you didn't agree, and to me it's a resigning matter because it is for him it's so serious. To vote against the budget is incredibly serious. And therefore, if he's doing that, why didn't he do it when he was Minister for Home Affairs for 5 years?
So it's a challenge to him to step down, is it?
Well, no, he was a minister for five years.
He should have done it then.
And he should have done it then. He didn't. And now, when he's on the backbenches, effectively, he can throw the rocks that he didn't do when he was a minister.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
20 to 6 it is on Budget Day on the Isle of Man. This is update from Manx Radio. The Ben McCree left Heysham at 2:15 this afternoon. docking in Douglas at 20 past six tonight, spinning round, heading off at 7:45 this evening, arriving in Heysham about 11:30 tonight, and then back at 02:15, docking in Douglas at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Everything's fine regarding crossing the Irish Sea. The Fastcraft Mananan will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool March 27th next month, the first sailing of the year to Dublin's the day after, March 28th, and she heads for Belfast from April the 8th.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Changes to Manx gas prices are ridiculous and unfair, according to some members of the public protesting outside government today. A group with placards assembled outside legislative buildings this afternoon while the Treasury Minister was announcing the 2020 budget. Brian Speedy is a retired postman and explained to Lewis Foster why they're protesters.
We're sick and tired of the gas company moving the goalposts. We've been different people have been banded, which is ridiculous. Some A, B, C, D, E, which is, so they've changed that now, but we're protesting because they seem to have put the price of the units up. And in England, the price of gas has gone down, but in the Isle of Man, it just seems to go up and up and up.
And today, the budget, how do you expect politicians to react to this?
Well, I expect them, with the power that they've got, to have some influence on the gas company. A new agreement, that's what we want. Yes. Yeah.
How have you been affected by this directly?
Well, I'm very lucky. I've got a works pension and an old age pension. But if I was on an old age pension, I'd be £200 a month in debt. Yeah. So it's far too expensive, the gas here.
How effective do you think protesting is?
I think the only way you've got... You'll protest until they get fed up and they... People say to me, you've got to keep going on and going on about it. If you take no notice, they won't do anything about it.
The banding standing charges, I've said before, I wouldn't have introduced them. I didn't think it was the right thing to do. However, they were designed and they were put in place to be entirely revenue neutral and cost neutral for customers. Now, I'm sorry, they were. It wasn't NERA who suggested the social tariff. It was Manx Gas who put that forward. It was Manx Gas who put forward we shall have a priority customers register to ensure that the more vulnerable people in society are looked after. It's Manx Gas that's putting in place payment plans to ensure that anybody, and I would say that to anybody here, if they have an issue with their bill, please come in and talk to ourselves as an organisation. I take customer service very, very seriously indeed, and I just said to you before, Mr Murphy, we're in a privileged position as a utility company, so we will always sit down and discuss and assist customers to ensure that they can heat their homes. And these are all things that we have suggested and we have wanted to put in to a new agreement. We put in place service standards, so we are held to a standard of service to deliver that.
Fair, isn't it? That's basic. That's
yep. No other use. No other use. Okay. No other utility company has one.
They should all have them.
They should. No, I'm saying we have offered them up on behalf of customers and everybody else, and that's what we're looking to.
The voice you heard there is Ian Plenderleath, who is the managing director of Manx Gas. There was a protest outside Manx Gas headquarters at the bottom of Douglas Head Road today, and that report came to you courtesy of BBC Isle of Man. That was Ian Plenderleath talking to the protesters on what he sees as the moves that they have made.
Manx Radio's business briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Facebook is ready for a higher tax in the EU. Mark Zuckerberg throwing his weight behind a global digital tax regime, even if it leads to a higher tax bill for big tech. He told the Munich Security Conference at the weekend that he understood the frustration about how tech companies are taxed in Europe and admitted cross-border reforms may mean paying more taxes in different places. Tax rules across the European Union vary, but many countries are concerned that American tech giants aren't paying their fair share by placing their headquarters, guess where? In Ireland, where they enjoy a reduced tax rate. Nestlé has axed low-sugar chocolate. They axed the Milky Bar Wowsums, reduced-sugar goodies less than 2 years after launch due to struggling sales. Seems nobody wants chocolate with less sugar. The Wowsome contains Nestlé's patented hollow sugar technology, which shrank sugar nearly by a third. As obesity rates rise, they surpass 28% in Britain. The UK government's authorities have called for low-sugar products, but chocolate makers have struggled to lure consumers with low-sugar chocolates. Mars, Snickers and Cadbury's Dairy Milk all offered similar products in the last year. Meantime, Unilever announced it'll stop advertising ice cream to children in another effort to combat child obesity.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit wimanx.com today. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks declined as fears over the potential economic fallout from the coronavirus persist. American stocks fell as a forecast from the tech giant Apple stoked worries over the coronavirus and its impact on corporate profits for the global economy. The dollar rose to its highest in nearly 3 years against the euro, which was pressured by a German survey showing slumping investor confidence in Europe's largest economy. Oil prices fell, pressured by concerns about oil demand and the lack of further action by OPEC and its allies to support the market. Gold prices jumped as the surprise sales warning from Apple highlighted the potential impact of coronavirus on the global economy. In corporate news, HSBC was under pressure after saying it would cut about 35,000 jobs in a radical business overhaul as the bank reported a fall in annual profit and wrote down more than $7 billion worth of assets. Elsewhere, Betfair and Paddy Power operator Flutter Entertainment was on the rise as it said its merger with a Canadian poker company, the Stars Group, has been informally approved by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. The markets at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was down 0.5% at 7,382. The DAX in Germany, in Frankfurt, was down 0.75% at 13,681. In New York, the Dow Jones was down 1% at 29,137. And the NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.5% at 9,686. In Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.5% at 3,358. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1.301 and €1.20.3. And finally, commodities. Gold was up 1.25% at $1,603 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 0.5% at $57.14.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
12 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio, Monday to Friday from 5.30 till 6, 30 minutes of news and background. In Update, I'm Andy Wint, and today on The Man in Line at lunchtime on Manx Radio, former Chief Minister Tony Brown said the process of putting the Manx budget together is complex. He stated that Treasury doesn't just pluck figures out of the air because there's one binding factor that people may forget.
They're actually formulating figures to make sure we have a balanced budget to present to Tynwald, because if the Treasury Minister didn't do that, he'd be breaking the law.
Right.
So what happens is that he's got to put together a budget, and he could overcome it, but it would mean that he would cut other departments substantially to make sure all the money went into the health service. Now, you know, the health service, whether we like it or not, is a bottomless pit. We all want good health care for our people and for ourselves, and I think that's absolutely right of any modern society. It's how we manage that. And there are many areas which we can all see where there could be better ways of managing the affairs of the health service. And it's those areas that the minister struggles with to try and deal with. He doesn't deal with the medical operations. He doesn't deal with the assessments of what medicine we take. He deals with the administration of the DHSS. And that's the real difficulty, because it's such a big animal, to use a term.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSell. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations. Manx Radio Sport.
Faster by Ed Oldham.
FC Isle of Man have named Chris Bass as their first ever manager. Bass has spent the last two decades managing St George's, turning them into one of the most dominant sides in Manx football history. Under his stewardship, they've won more than 40 trophies, including 13 of the last 16 league titles and three Grand Slams. FC Isle of Man have been set up to enter the English football system with the aim of becoming a professional club within 10 to 12 years. They'll enter the North West Counties Football League for the 2020-21 season. Further afield, Tottenham boss Jose Mourinho says he doesn't expect Heung-min Son to play again this season after the forward fractured his arm during Sunday's Premier League win at Aston Villa. It adds to Spurs' injury problems up front, with Harry Kane already out with a hamstring problem. Liverpool can take another step towards their successful defence of the Champions League this evening. The holders start their knockout stage campaign with the first leg of their last 16 tie away to Atletico Madrid. Mako Vonopola will miss England's Rugby Six Nations clash with Ireland on Sunday due to family reasons. The prop has been replaced in the squad for the match at Twickenham by Bath's Benno Urbano. And Dai Young will leave Wasps after nearly nine seasons with the Rugby Union Premiership club. Their director of rugby has told them he feels he's taken them as far as he can. Young guided the team to the Premiership final in 2017 and also took them to the semi-finals of the European Champions Cup in 2016. Lee Blackett will continue as interim head coach.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
9 minutes to six on update tonight. The 25 past four inbound BA from London City was 25 minutes late. Consequently, the outbound London City, the 5 past 5, is only just about close, so it won't be leaving for 5 minutes or so. Later departures tonight, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing no problems at the moment. The Matrix signs don't have any problems at the moment heading towards the mountain, but be warned, there's a yellow warning for ice through the night on high roads tonight. Hope Street in Douglas is closed to vehicles and pedestrians between Hope Street and St George's Street. They're laying telecommunications cables at the moment. Should be over before the end of the week, they reckon. Glenmore Road in St John's, the road between Timwell Hill and Timwell Mill Shopping Centre, is closed at the moment. They're resurfacing the carriageway. You can get the back way to Timwell Mills. Renham Road in Glenmona, temporary closure there between the Cornet Road and the railway crossing north of Ballaglass Glen for highway resurfacing. That Westlands closure was due to be finished at the end of this month. It's extended to the 28th of August in Peel. Do take care. And all the trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks and the ongoing saga of the promenades in Douglas at maxradio.com for all the information, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. The prom's got its own website, myprom.im.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions,
670-145. A British couple stuck on a quarantine cruise liner in Japan have tested positive for coronavirus. Sally and David Abel, along with 74 other British nationals, have been stranded on the Diamond Princess since the 3rd of this month. The UK Foreign Office is looking to secure a rescue flight to get those on board back home. Speaking to Sky Television's Jane Secker, chairman of Global Health Project One Health, Dr. Osman Dar, said the case of the cruise liner highlights issues around quarantine protocols.
It highlights just how stressful it can be for the people on board a vessel like this when they're under quarantine and when there's little known about the illness or the virus. I think, though, that there's no easy answers in deciding how to proceed when a ship like this goes under quarantine. Much of our knowledge and experience is based on more regularly occurring norovirus outbreaks, but of course those have a shorter quarantine period and a shorter isolation period typically. So there's specific risks, of course, with repatriation as well. So balancing those risks with keeping people in quarantine on the ship are not easy things to deal with or answer.
Talk to us a little bit more about that decision-making process, because the initial outbreak was only about 10 patients, as I understand it. They've now gone up to over 540. So what would the authorities have been weighing up when they made that decision to keep them on or repatriate them?
So I think, firstly, they examine how the outbreak itself is being managed on the ship. Normally, an outbreak control team is convened. You have clinicians who are coming on board managing the cases. And really, you're looking to see if those quarantine measures on the ship are working. When you see that they're starting to break down, and particularly there's certain red flags. So if crew members, for instance, are starting to get more and more infections, that's a bit of a red flag because they tend to be in more closer proximity to each other. They're handling food, they're handling the cleaning of the ship. So if you see it starting to spread amongst the crew, that's a little bit of a red flag. But at the same time, you can argue that that the isolation of passengers themselves in their rooms is probably the safest option. In this particular case, I think when authorities started to see that the quarantine measures weren't working and there was a breakdown and you're starting to see more and more cases, that's when they start considering, okay, perhaps it's time that we consider repatriation. Because what could happen then is that the quarantine keeps getting extended as you start seeing more and more groups of cases emerging.
And finally, from the Manx budget today, East Douglas MHK Chris Robertshaw made a short speech in the budget debate and called for an independent panel to oversee government productivity. Manx Radio's Tim Glover spoke to Mr. Robertshaw, who was returning to a familiar theme of his time in Tynwald.
You go back to the original comment that I set out many years ago, which was delivering smaller, smarter government. And while revenues are increasing, there's now from private sector, from taxpayers, etc., from VAT, there's a great danger that we sort of slip back and fail to continue to drive savings and productivity in the setup of our organisations in government, because the frontline services are going to need more money. That's self-evident.
You also made a point of saying how short your speech was going to be. Yeah. I mean, Duham Watson, Mr. Speaker, has called into question the whole budget debate in itself, because everybody will make a speech. Sometimes they're making virtually the same points that have been made. You get to see the budget just a number of days before or weeks before. He says he doesn't feel engaged. He's going to vote against. I mean, is this debate worthy? Is it a waste of time, in effect?
Parts of it are a waste of time, yes. I mean,
because everyone will make their point and then they'll vote it through in the end. So,
Well, you might recall back, was it October, November? I became very anxious about the NI issues, the thresholds. So I thought, well, if I don't bring it up now, there'll be no impact. Well, I brought it up in October and there was an impact. But I am sympathetic to this whole concept of how budgets run, because... Now, I'm going to say something really strange now. I actually feel quite sorry for Treasury, because they can only control everything by crude budgetary limits. What we actually need, and I think one of the members touched on it, was it Mrs. Kane? I think it was her, was talking about the issue where we need a sort of a much more strategic approach. And if you get the strategy right, your budgets fall in line.
That's it for Update Tonight. We'll find out more from the Manx budget tomorrow morning on Breakfast with Ben and Alex on Manx Radio. Updates compiled from the resources, Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Sarah Hendy. After the news at 6 o'clock tonight, William King will be along with Youth and the Environment. Then it's Greatest Hits with Kerry Gascoigne. I'm Andy Wynn. Update is back Wednesday evening at 5:30.
WINT.